Proverbs chapter 3, I didn't collaborate with the pastor nor he with me on what we were speaking, but he dealt heavily on, I don't know if y'all, that was one of the best messages I've heard. I needed it. It challenged me. It convicted me. I'll be repenting all week over the truths that we just heard. That was phenomenal, and I appreciate so much that word from the Lord. This past Friday night, we introduced a principle that obedience precedes faith. And that's a principle that I'm hammering in my heart and grabbing a hold of. I've been questioning it for a couple of weeks, but accurate principle that obedience follows faith. The Bible says faith without works is dead. And there are instances when we're asking God to give us faith to do something. God is asking us to do something, and in that act of obedience, He will add to us faith. And so I believe that the Word teaches that, that obedience precedes faith. In this passage, we're going to understand that faith precedes understanding. And it's pivotal. So we are then, if you put those together, we're asked to do something, and out of obedience without understanding, we act in obedience. Faith is given for that, as we step out in obedience, and then later understanding comes. I've been asked by the Lord to do many things that I didn't have understanding for, neither did I have faith for, but I was asked to obey. And so in obedience, God then adds faith to sustain that pattern of obedience, and then later understanding comes. This is a familiar passage, and here's what it says. We all know it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Do y'all see that? Yeah. So it introduces to us, thank you, Joe, it introduces to us a principle that faith precedes understanding. I don't believe that God has ever requested that we understand what it is that He's doing in our life. I've said this before, and I'll say it to you, and I've heard it said, and I agreed with it, and now I own it as my own. God has never called me to a council meeting in heaven and said, "Hey, Jeff, I want to discuss for you what I'm about to do in your life before I do it, and I wanted your permission before I start." That's never happened. But what has happened in my life is things that I cannot understand. And then in the middle of this vast misunderstanding in my life, God will require a step or an act of obedience. When I step out in that act of obedience, God somehow, supernaturally, adds to my faith. My faith then is given by a gift from the Lord that sustains that walk of obedience, and then understanding comes. Now, I think there is a reason why verse 5 is ahead of verse 6, but we need to get that principle in mind. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. How many of you understand that verse? You cannot trust your own calculations in the matter. And if you think that you're smart enough to navigate through life, you are in for the greatest disappointment you will ever run into. You are not equipped to handle life. Life comes at us at the speed of light, with circumstance after circumstance, situation after situation. And if you think that you can navigate your way through life with your own understanding, you're about to be disappointed, especially if you belong to the Lord. The Lord is in the business of putting more on you than you can bear. Now, I know you've been taught before, God will never put more on you than you can bear. Well, whoever come up with that idea does not know the word and apparently hasn't lived life long. God is in the business of putting more on you than you can bear. It is the only way wherewith God can say, hey, I'm the one in control. I'm the one in charge. You can't trust your own thinking. You got to trust me. So we're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. We're to lean not unto our own understanding. Then the next verse comes. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. There's so many wonderful words in that verse. If you unpack that verse, here's basically what you find. You find that God has a plan for your life, and you're probably not going to understand it. You're going to have to trust him for his plan for your life. Now, by the way, the scripture points out that God has certain plans designed for you, and they're good plans. Jeremiah the prophet teaches us that. Chapter 29 declares it as so. God has a plan for your life, and they're good plans. Now, I want to tell you something that has been kind of plaguing me. Everybody say I'm listening. This is important. If you look at your life in the light of the Word of God, you will develop a particular perception. But if you look at the Word of God in light of your life, it will develop a different perception. Most people live their lives and then they try to justify their own decision-making process by God's Word. Now, if you do that, you can. Here's why. You can take the Word of God and about prove anything. Listen, here's a case in point. The Bible said Judas went out and hanged himself. Then in another place it says, go you out and do likewise. You put the two together and you can build a case for suicide. Are y'all out there? Please, I know you're sleepy and we lost an hour, but get with me, or I will preach 2 hours, all right? You can make the Bible say anything you want it to say. So if you look at your life in light of the Word of God, you can take your life and you can justify just about any decision, just about any choice, just by simply what happens in your life. But if you look at the Word of God in light of your life, it changes things. If you just allow the Word of God to say what the Word of God says and then pattern your life after it, it will change everything. It'll change every dynamic and every aspect of your being. Now, this has been hard for me. I've been trying to learn this lesson for 40 years. And I'm not exaggerating. For 40 years, I've been trying to learn the lesson. I've spent my whole life telling others about the Bible, teaching the Word of God in some way, preaching the Word of God, teaching the Word of God. It's why that I live. If I didn't have that, I would have no real reason or purpose for living, is to just teach the Word of God. But I'm understanding at this point, the older I get, the heavier the responsibility gets. And I know that there is a word that I have to use at this point, and I hate the word. It's the word balance. I hate that word. Because I've never believed, and do I now believe, that God has called us to be balanced people. I think God has called us to be extreme people. But in our extreme, we should be balanced. And I know that's hard. And what I'm saying is when you tackle a topic or a subject, there is extreme balance through the Word of God. Now, I'm going to say something at this point, and I know some of you know me, some of you don't, but my brother Joe, I don't know where he went to. He brought me a cup of coffee and then disappeared. He would know. He'd get a kick out of this. Since he's not here, he won't get a kick out of it, so we're going to kick him when he comes back, right? But Mark will understand this. Ken and Lisa will understand this. Joe Barrett will probably understand this. Ed, Haley, those that know me the best will understand what I'm about. They'll probably shout and say a loud and thunderous amen at what I'm about to say. I'm probably the most organized man you've ever seen in all of your life. There was no thunderous amen. I am what you call a planner. How many planners do we have out there? Do you know there is strength to being a planner? Joe Barrett, you didn't say amen either. I'm beginning to wonder if you really know me.
I'm waiting for lightning.
You're Of all of the things that I am not, probably the weakest point of my existence is my resistance to a plan. I'm not a planner. And I say that to my weakness. I am not a planner. One reason why I think is because every time that I make a plan, it never goes as planned, ever. And here's something that I've discovered in the Christian walk and in the Christian life is that most disillusionment, most disappointment, even most depression comes when you fail to realize a plan that you have made. And I got to thinking about that, and here's one reason why. Listen. We're going to plan out our tomorrows right quick. I'm going to plan out my tomorrows, okay? So in the morning, I plan to get up, and I'm going to enjoy a cup of coffee, and then I'm going to go get in the truck, and I'm going to drive, and it's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow. Sun's going to shine. Traffic's going to be easy, and I'm going to get to where I'm going. I'm going to unload, and then, oh, yeah, by the way, about 4 o'clock, I'm going to plan for a heart attack. I have never heard a single person plan that out. Have you? I'm going to go to work in the morning, but I'm going to plan to have a flat tire on the way. See, here's what it reveals about our plans. Every time you plan something, your plan doesn't have any negative things in it. You are planning to bypass every negative. What that's called is fantasy. It's not reality. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Listen, there is absolutely no way that 2 years ago I said, now you know what? Boy, life's going good. I'm preaching in church and everything's real good. And we're just having a wonderful time of fellowship. I'm getting to know some people, know how to pray and people I can be comfortable around and Joey Gregg's uglier than I am. Life's good. And Colt Bass is just, well, Colt Bass. He's just Colt Bass. But everything's going so good. But I think I'm going to plan to have cancer a couple of times in the next year. You never plan that. Because plans are designed to bypass all negative things. And that's fantasy. So when a plan is not realized, what happens? Discouragement, disillusionment, a loss of joy, a loss of passion, a loss of what our pastor was talking about earlier, peace. All of those things become fleeting because your plan is not realized. Now, I want you to hear what Proverbs 3:6 says again. Listen to it real closely. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And what? He will direct your path. He will plan your path. God will plan your path. Now, why does verse 5 precede verse 6? Here's why. When God plans your path, you're probably not going to understand it. Last thing in the world that I ever wanted to do is the very thing that I've done my whole life. I've shared this story with you before, but it's a case in point. At the age of 13, for some reason, the pastor of our church at Emmanuel Baptist Church, Tom Williams, come to me, 13-year-old boy, and said, Jeff, I want you to take prayer meeting this Wednesday night. I didn't have no sense and said, okay. Now, the reason why, and this is the truth, from the age of 6 to 12, I learned the Word of God. I did what the pastor was talking about with the children. I did that from the age of 6 to 12, and it was nonstop. See, back in that time where I was raised and when I was raised, if a church had a revival, every church in the area shut down and went to that revival. Yeah. And you heard preaching. That's the way we spent our time. During the summer, I spent my summers in Bristol, Tennessee, at a Bible camp with my Uncle Roy and Aunt Nell. And it was Bible. It was actually Bible. It wasn't playtime. We got up and we ate breakfast. We went and we studied the Word of God till 12 o'clock. We ate lunch. We had about an hour off. And then we gathered in the arbor and we were quizzed on what we had learned that morning. Yeah. Then we went to supper. And guess what we did in the evening? We went to church where we had preaching. And that's the way I was raised. It was that way from the age of 6 to 12. I learned the Bible. I learned the Word of God. So when that pastor came to me at the age of 13 and he said, "Won't you take prayer meeting?" I said, "Okay." And so I got up that Wednesday night and I preached from John chapter 3, verse number 6 and 7. "Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again." Can't tell you a thing I said, but I was up, get this. Now, it was my first time behind the pulpit, and I still preach 30 minutes. Long-winded from the gate, I'm telling you. Two people gave their heart to Christ that night, and it scared me. It scared me, and I rebelled against that plan of God. Why? I didn't understand it. The weight was too much. The responsibility was too heavy. I didn't want it, and so I began to run from God. And I said, "Lord, your plan's not good, but let me negotiate with you my plan." And when I began to negotiate with the Lord my plan, I stopped acknowledging him in all my ways. Are you hearing me? So there I was, running from God, rebellious, and at that point through my teenage years, living a wicked life. A wicked life. And because of circumstance beyond my control, I ended up as a 17, 18-year-old guy with two jobs and no home to live in. And my grandfather welcomed me into his home, and for 3 months I lived with my granddad and my grandmother. And boy, I decided I'm going to join the military. That'll be a good plan. God, sign up with me on that plan. Now, that's honorable. It's patriotic. It can be godly. Sign up with me on that plan, Lord. But what God did is he sent me to my granddaddy's house before I went in. Now, my granddaddy was a different guy. Him and Mama, they were different people. They lived different than anybody I've ever been around. I mean, everything was different. It was just a weird experience. That paradigm didn't equate in nothing that I had ever experienced through my teenage years. I went to my grandfather's house, and immediately he said, "Now, you're going into the military. You've already decided, and you've already joined up. You got a 3-month wait here. You're going to quit both jobs, and you're going to help me." And I said, "Help you do what?" He said, "Whatever I'm doing." Best move I ever made. Breakfast time came at 6 o'clock every morning. I didn't much care for that. Nonetheless, I got up And there I was at the breakfast table, and every plate turned upside down. You sat there and you had prayer and Bible study before breakfast. We ate breakfast, and then after breakfast, we had prayer and Bible study. That afternoon, you went out and took care of the cows. He had some cows, and you did the errands and the work, and you come back, and the supper plates was turned over on the table. You sat there, and you had prayer and Bible study. Turned the plates over and ate supper while Mama cleaned the kitchen. Guess what we did? You ain't going to believe it. Prayer and Bible. My life was being radically transformed, and I couldn't even tell it. I went in the military, and as a result of going into the military, and after being under that influence, God used me to lead 16 men to Christ in our platoon. And I shared this, I think, Friday night. We had this one Jewish guy in our platoon, and they'd come get him every Saturday, take him to synagogue, and boy, I was after him. I mean, I was going to bring that boy to Jesus. He knew the Old Testament better than I did, but I knew the New Testament a whole lot better than he did. And so there we went for 3 months, and we'd interchange back and forth. And I was praying, oh God, you got to save this boy. You got to save John. You got to save him, Lord. You got to save, he's going to hell. You got to save him. And the last night that I was there, the night before graduation, I had done give up. And so I took John of the New Testament. And I said, John, I want you to read this. It's my last request. And I just turned around, went back to my bunk. Lights was out, I didn't know. He had a flashlight, and he was back there reading that New Testament. Next morning, he had not slept all night. I didn't know. I went to sleep. He came to me in big tears. He said, I need to tell you, I read the Gospel of John last night. And he said, at the end, I invited Jesus to come into my heart and to save me. And he said, I believe he is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the one we've been looking for. I went on to jump school, got to Fort Bragg, had a parachute on my back, and I was fixing to jump out the door of an airplane, and God said, preach! And I said, okay! That's the way that happened. You can believe it. Listen. I started acknowledging him in all of my ways while I was coming down through the air. I decided he had a better plan than I did. He was not going to negotiate with me on my plan. So I learned this verse. Watch, this verse is broke down into two parts. You have a responsibility, and God has a responsibility. Your responsibility is to acknowledge God in all of your ways. His responsibility is to direct your path. Period. Now I can save all of us here from a load of disappointment, a load of disillusionment. All you got to do is quit planning and let God plan your life. That's a Bible truth. Where we get into trouble is when we leave our area and go into God's area. Here, God, I don't like your plan's not really good enough for me. As a matter of fact, Lord, I don't even know how I'm going to accomplish this plan. It's beyond me what I can do, which is always God's plan. Right? Well, Lord, you got to give me the details on this plan. I've never had him to give me a single detail. Why? Because it's beyond my ability to understand. That's why I've got to trust in the Lord with all of my heart. Trusting in the Lord with all of your heart is the only way you can acknowledge Him in all of your ways. Leaning not unto your own understanding is the only way you'll ever sign up for His plan. Listen, can I tell you, when I was struggling and battling and right there, right at the verge of preaching, when I said yes to the Lord, and I'm not making this up, I was floating down the air when I said yes to the Lord, coming out the door of the airplane. I went home, and I'm telling you the truth, this is the truth. Now, I was 20 years old or so, out of something like that, 20 years old, and I hit the ground, and I had already said yes to the Lord. Now, I had been schooled that you don't make a vow to God and then break it. Matter of fact, there is an obscure name in Hebrews 11 in the Hall of Faith, a guy by the name of Jephthah, and it's a wonderful story in the Old Testament. Here's what Jephthah said. He said, I have opened my mouth to the Lord, and I cannot go back. Whew. So I knew that I had made a vow to God, and I couldn't go back on it. And so I got home and I said, this can't be. I've said yes to God that I'd preach, and I don't even look like a preacher. And I went into the house, put my suit on. I'm telling you a true story. I put my suit on, and I looked in the mirror, and I said, this don't look right. Ain't nothing about this looks right. And I remembered all of how preachers walk and how they talk and how they do. And I thought, okay, well, that's the only model I had. So I got my Bible and I put it way up underneath my arm. You know how they do, right? I thought, now, let's see, if I remember how they used to walk. And I did everything I knew to do. And I didn't look right. And I said, God, I don't know. If this is your plan, what am I going to do? It took me years to even learn how to be me. I had lost at that point my identity. I'm telling you the truth. Now listen to me. God used me through those years. I know that. And people got saved, and I rejoice over that. But it took me years to learn me inside of the plan of God. You know what I was battling with the whole time? I didn't understand it. And the whole time God was shouting with a megaphone from heaven saying, I don't require you to understand it. I require you to step out in obedience and say yes to my plan, and I will direct your path. Amen. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So I got disillusioned all over again. Disappointed all over again. Why? Because the plan wasn't working. It worked on the appearance. Oh, I was preaching everywhere. I mean, I was preaching everywhere. Can I share this one more story with you? And then I'll give you some principles and we'll be done here in just a second. But listen to this. Some of you know, Haley was born, she was raised in Colletsville. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Colletsville, Lenore, in this area. And her desire is to go home. I acknowledge that in front of everybody. Her desire is to go home. Now watch this. Listen, I understand that. You know why? Because it was my desire too. I wanted to go home. Somehow I ended up in Statesville. Never did want to be there. I wanted to go home. I wanted them mountains back home. I wanted Chilhowee, Virginia. I wanted Sugar Grove, Conorock Mountain, Sankler's Creek. I wanted those areas back home. And I'll never forget this. T.D. Burgess called me one time, and I think he's in heaven now, but he was pastoring Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, Virginia, and he called me and said, Jeff, come up here. You need to preach here. I'm fixing to turn this church over to you, and you need to be the pastor. Listen, we're going to set you right in here. It's a big old huge church. And I was so excited. Lord, I get to leave Statesville. Hallelujah. I get to go back home. I had an old van. Can't tell you this is true. I had an old van I was driving at the time. And I pulled in on the parking lot at Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, Virginia, and the motor blew. So I get out of the van, I go into the church, and I preach. And boy, we had a time. People shouting and hollering. It was just unbelievable all that went on that Sunday morning. And I had my van towed to a friend of mine, Kenny McMahon. He was a mechanic over there. And he said, I'll fix you up. So he put me a motor in that van, you know. And I just took advantage of the time, stayed a couple of days with my grandparents up there. And Kenny called and said, got your van ready. I said, praise God, I'll come over and get it. Everything's sunshine and roses now. I'll tell you, my plans are working out. I'm fixing to get to come home. I got in the van and I was headed backstage from, got the whiffle and the motor blowed. Had a friend up there in Whiffle, put it in his shop, stayed there for 2 days, and he said, I got your van fixed. I said, well, hallelujah. I got back to Mount Airy and the oil pressure dropped, and I finally got it back to Statesville, and guess what? The motor blowed again 3 times. Now, can I tell you what God was saying? God was saying, your plan's not good. My plan's better. I had to stay where I was at. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I've preached this principle, and I preach it to you now. The most severe punishment and penalty that God can ever inflict on you is to give you what you want when you reject what you need. Now, here's the whole story of what this passage of Scripture is saying. Here's what this passage of Scripture is saying. It's saying that if you follow your path, based on your understanding, you will deny the plan of God and you'll end up in disillusionment. You'll end up in depression. You'll end up in discouragement. I'm going to give you just 6 things here, 6 principles. I'm not going to preach them. Maybe a couple of them, but just say this much. Here's a quote that I want to start with before I give you these principles. A quote off of The Lord of the Rings. How many of you remember that movie? I think Gandalf said this to Frodo. He said, you step onto the road, if you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you might be swept off to. Did y'all hear that? You step onto the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you might be swept off to. If God has a path for you to follow and you step off of that path, there's no knowing where you may end up. I give you these 6 principles. You cannot sign up to follow Christ and then ask Christ to follow you. Did y'all hear what I just said? I want to say it one more time. You cannot sign up to follow Christ and then ask Christ to follow you. It will not work. Your life will end up shipwrecked. You have no idea the misery that follows such a request. And here's why we do that. It's because, Lord, you know that where I'm going is a wonderful place. It's a good place. So many people settle for good when God wants you to have the best. Are y'all out, even out there? Please say amen.
Amen.
You cannot sign up to follow Christ and then ask Christ to follow you. Listen to this. You'll lose your direction if you leave the counsel of God out of your plan. These are simple things. But I look at so many people's lives, and this is what's happening. Here's the third thing. Listen to this. Choosing who directs your path will determine where you end up. I ask this often, but how many of you know that you know you've been born again? Can I tell you that in a lot of cases, that's all people want to know. They don't want to know. Don't tell me no more than that. Why? Because I don't want to be responsible for anything more than that. But there's a problem with that. The Lord didn't save you just to keep you out of hell. By the way, there's a real hell. Did y'all know that? It's literally burning. And it's for eternity. And people who go there... they live forever in that torment. You realize that, right? Watch. Because I've been born again, this is the only hell I'm ever going to know. Are y'all with me on that? I don't, you know, if that don't wake you up, you need more coffee than I do. This is the only hell we're ever going to know. But can I ask you a question? When the Lord promises us joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and promises us abundant life, why do we continuously choose to live in misery? I'll tell you why. It's because we don't like the path of God. We would rather forge our own path. Here's another principle. Listen to this. The path you take is the consequence of who or what you follow. Listen to this. Self-reliance is not enough for you to end up where you need to go. Dear God. I'm saying I'm not going to preach these things, but I'm telling you, those you could forever. Here's the last one. And it's simple. You always end up where you're heading. That's where you end up. Where you're heading. So, let's get back to simplicity for just a second. Okay? You have a responsibility. You know what it is? In all of your ways, acknowledge Him.
Yes. Yep.
Now, I was telling you this earlier. I was at the Calvary Baptist Church, and at that time, I think they was 700-800 people in that church. Now, watch this. Listen. Do you know how I preached there the same way I'm preaching here? Do you want to know why? Because it's the only way I know. I tried the other ways. They never have panned out. Listen, I've tried to be quieter. I have suppressed it to try to be quieter inside of me till honestly, there's been times when I've left here, this place, trying to control yourself, you big dummy. And I've done it to the point that my stomach is tore up when I leave. I've tried to be eloquent. I've tried all of these things, and nothing works. It has to just come out the way it's in me. I can't, there's nothing else I can do. Watch, at the age of 60, I've learned I need to be who I am in Christ in order for you to be who you are in Christ. Right? Now, guess where I'm going to end up, where I'm heading? And I've learned this, watch. Here, all the responsibility we have is to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. How many of you want the grace place to be the church God's designed it to be? Here's what we have to do. We've got to acknowledge God in all that we do. We've got to acknowledge God. We need to celebrate the Lord. We need to give God praise. We need to declare it's all because of Jesus. If we acknowledge Him in all of our ways, He will direct the path of this church. Nothing would thrill me anymore is there to be more people in this building than we could seat, and we'd have to go to 5 services. That'd tickle me to death. You know why? It's in obedience to the command of God's book. He said, go out and get them and fill my house up. Everybody say amen. Amen. You know how you build a church? You acknowledge God in all of your ways. It's not your responsibility to build the church. It's your responsibility to acknowledge God in all of His ways. You do that, He'll build the church. Jesus said upon this rock, I will build my church. You put together a plan to build a church, you'll get disillusioned. You'll get disappointed. You'll go shipwrecked. You know why? Because none of the plans work. When I first started preaching, I read every book on 10 easy ways to build a church. I have since thrown every one of them in the trash can. There is a couple of verses of Scripture that I quote every time I think about church growth, even here. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. Jesus said, upon this rock, upon Peter, upon your confession, of faith in me, I will build my church. Then what's our job? Our job is to acknowledge God in all of our ways. Whether it be your work life, your home life. Are y'all hearing me? Whether it be school, regardless of what it is, you are to acknowledge God in all of your ways. If you start acknowledging God, people will come to you. You won't have to go to them. You just acknowledge God. Why are we here? We're here because of Jesus. What are we going to do when we get here? We're going to brag on Jesus. We're going to acknowledge God. If we acknowledge God, He's in charge of the path. Now watch this. When the path is set, you're not going to understand it. It's going to require you to trust in the Lord. And can I tell you this? Listen to me now. Listen to me. When you don't understand it, you're required to obey it. There's no getting out of that. I don't care what you, I don't care. It doesn't matter what your situation is, right? We was talking about this Friday night, and I'm done. Here's what we was talking about Friday night, a little bit. We're talking about Friday. Luke 17 says this. Jesus said it's impossible, but that offense is going to come. Right? He said, now when your brother sins against you, forgive him. If he comes to you and he repents, you forgive him. Then it says this, if he comes to you seven times in the same day and sins against it, you forgive him. See, you have a responsibility. You know what your responsibility is? Forgive. You know what their responsibility is? Repent. But whether they repent or whether they don't, you still have to meet your responsibility. You say, it's not fair. Well, I didn't make the rules up. You'll have to take that up with God. That's what happens when we look at the Word of God in light of our life, or look at our life in light of the Word of God. Well, the Lord apparently didn't understand my circumstance. Oh, yeah, He did. See, watch, listen. If you don't let the Word of God say what the Word of God says, you will then misinterpret it to fit your situation, and you'll come up with this rationale. Well, God doesn't expect me to do that. When somebody says God doesn't expect, I want to puke. I really want to puke. Well, God expects me to be happy. See the bleeding lamb hanging on a cross. That was God's plan. Placing your sin upon His only Son. Don't tell me God don't expect. He requires a lot of people that follow Him. Here's what it requires: your obedience beyond your understanding. Your obedience even beyond your level of faith. That's where trust comes in. I trust, even though I don't feel. I trust, even though I don't understand. I trust. Why? Because He's God. I'm going to acknowledge Him in all of my ways. He will direct my path. My prayer is always this. I've been praying this for years, and I don't even like it. And when I say it, I even tell the Lord, I remind the Lord, Lord, you know I don't like this, but I'm going to pray it anyway. Sovereignly guide my footsteps. Lock the doors that don't need to be open, and open the doors that I don't want to be open, but let Your will be done in my life. If we don't have that kind of surrender, you're going to end up where you're heading. And where you're heading is misery. Where you're heading is heartbreak. Where you're heading is heartache. Where you're heading is depression, disillusionment, discouragement. When God promises you joy unspeakable and full of glory, the things that I thought would make me happy has never worked out. Not the first time. So you know what I have to do? I got to say, all to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. In all of my ways, I will acknowledge Him. And He will direct my path. Y'all hear that?
Yes.
Let's bow for prayer. I've tried to be obedient this morning. Again, none of this was planned before time, but I've tried to be obedient this morning and share with you what I think God put in my heart for today. I wonder if somebody would say, I've been trying to find the path, or I've been looking for the path that I'm supposed to take. It's been an awful confusing journey for you. You say, I've been weighing it out in my mind. I want you to pray for me that I'll find the path God has for me. Is there anybody like that? There's one. There's another one. There's another one. There's another one. There's another one. Yeah. Let me ask you this. How many of you are maybe at a crossroads at some point in your life? You're at a cross section of two paths, about to make a life decision. You don't know what to do. Kind of confused about it. Slip your hand up and say, just pray for me. I'm there. Anybody? There's one. There's another one. Let me just tell you this. God's plan is that you acknowledge Him in all of your ways. You're going to acknowledge the counsel of the Lord. He will sovereignly direct your path. Join me in the prayer, oh God, sovereignly. Lock the doors you don't want to be open and open the doors that you want me to walk through. Join me in that prayer. And then in back of that, say, oh Lord, I surrender all. I lay down my plans. I lay down my dreams. If your dreams is bringing you discouragement and disillusionment because you're never seeing come real, lay your dream down. Pick up God's plan. If your plan is creating confusion, if your plan is creating chaos in your life, lay down your plan. Pick up God's plan. God's plan is simple. Just surrender and acknowledge Him. He said He'd direct your path. Join me in that prayer. I surrender all, Lord. I surrender all. All to Jesus. I surrender. Boy, I believe there's people here this morning need more surrender. God's calling you to that. I believe that. This may seem a little old-fashioned, but if God's calling you to a higher level of surrender, just stand where you are. Join me in that, because I know that's what God's required of me. I know it is. And I just join me, if you would, if God's calling you to that. In some way, He spoke to your heart about it. I'm praying right now, Holy Spirit, speak to those that are sincerely searching and seeking for your will. Help us, Lord, to know. Nation, that in all of our ways we're going to acknowledge Jesus. And Lord, I know there's more depth there, but we're just going to acknowledge Jesus. We're going to trust you beyond what we can understand. We're going to trust you beyond our capacity of faith to even believe for it. But we're going to step out in an act of obedience, and we're going to surrender ourselves to you. I'm going to lay down my plans, Lord, on this morning, on this day. I'm going to lay down my plans, and I'm going to say, Lord, I need your plan. I don't even know, Lord, none of us do. None of us know what all your plan consists of for our life. There's not a person here that can boast of tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But Lord, we can trust you because you're in our tomorrows. You've been in our todays, and you were in our yesterdays before we were, and after we shall ever be here on this earth, you will always be. So all my plans, Lord, I'm going to lay down, pick up yours. And I'm going to trust that you're just going to sovereignly guide, sovereignly guard, sovereignly protect as we walk. Lord, as we step out on the road, there's no knowing where our feet's going to take us. But Lord, I do know this. We're going to end up where we're heading, and I want to head toward your glory. I want to head toward your will. I want to head in the direction of your divine spirit. And I'm asking God, you fulfill in me everything that you have planned for me when you knitted me in my mother's womb. I don't understand it all, but God, I do know this. I know that you are the God of the universe and the creator of it all, and you are my Father. And I want to follow. I love you, Lord. And I pray you've done a work of grace in all of our hearts and our lives. Help us, Lord, not to forget what our pastor taught us today, and not to be afraid, but to trust and to have faith in God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.